Welcome to another inspirational message from Dave and Jenny Gilpin. Dave and Jenny are the senior pastors of Hope City Church. For any more information or for any other resources, visit davegilpin.com.
So I'm going to talk about a thing called 3CKs, not C3Ks, but 3CKs, third culture kids. Third culture kids. Everyone say 3CKs. 3CKs, and there's also 3CAs, third culture adults, right? We'll pretend you kids are adults, right? The adults are kids, right? So 3CKs, kids that have been brought up in a different culture to the culture their parents were brought up in. Now, Hope City Church is filled with 3CKs, people who are brought up in a different location and different culture. You're part of a different culture to your parents' culture. And we're generational, that even your parents were 3CKs, that they were brought up in a different culture to where their parents were brought up. They've got a love-hate relationship with the question, where are you from? Because often when they respond to it, they say, well, we moved to. And it seems to me that Hope City Church is filled with 3CKs. It just seems like they're everywhere in Hope City Church. It seems like we gathered people. Like, this is a bit like the United Nations. That we've gathered people from all different walks of life, all different places, but every one of us is trying to establish a brand new culture. That the first culture, they say, and you can Google it. There's even a psychological profile of 3CKs. That the first culture is the culture of your parents. The second culture is the culture that you're currently in. But the third culture is an alloy of the two cultures. It's you trying to make heads and tails of your life. It's you trying to understand your life. It's you trying to get a sense of belonging. Because when it comes to where do you belong, it's a question that's hard to answer. And I suspect in Hope City Church, I suspect that every now and again you think, I don't really belong here. And then you think back to the place that your parents are from or maybe the place you were born. And think, oh, one day I'm going to move back there. But if you did, you'd find that everyone's moved on from when you actually lived there. And you'll find that it's almost impossible to go back to the culture that you're from. And so some of us feel a little bit frozen between cultures. Like my parents born in England, and yet I lived like half of my life in Australia. So people say, are you British? I was born in England. But are you British? Are you Australian? And I kind of feel, you know, then we moved to. I think I've lived in about, I don't know, coming on 30 houses. Like take out 15. That was my university days. So I kind of leased about 15 different places. And it's hard to, you know, someone's in Australia where the weather's perfect, you know, and I think, oh, it'd be great to move back to Australia. And then I come over here and think, hey, this is where it's at. And I'm kind of torn between two cultures at times. And then I ask myself, where do I belong? But that's the question that is at times almost unanswerable for 3CKs, for third culture kids. And I finally realized that I don't actually belong to a place, I belong to a people. And I want to talk about that today, that you think that's the place, and if only I could move to this other place, and you feel out of place. You adopt Sheffield, you adopt Frankfurt, you adopt Leeds, you've adopted Newcastle, you've adopted Accra, but it's not your place of origin. It's not your place of your childhood years, but it's your place of adoption. And so it's hard to say, are you in love? Are you in love with Liverpool? Oh. Maybe that's the wrong city to pick, right? Are you in love with Preston, neutral city? Are you in love with them? And yet a lot of us could say, no, we're not actually in love with it. We feel a bit guilty not being in love with it. But we're here and we love it. But we're not. And there's some pressure in us that we've got to almost be in love with the place we're in. And yet, for third culture kids, it's not about place. For third culture kids, it's about people. It's not about place. So I want to encourage you today to, I want to make Hope City Church your home in every location that Hope City Church is about. I want this to become your home because it's not about location. It's about people, a gathering of people together that you'll find your sense of belonging, not in the city that you're dwelling in, but you'll find your sense of belonging in the people that you're dwelling with. There's something in Hope City Church. It's kind of like a blood flow. It's like there's a DNA in Hope City Church that we've gathered more than any other church, I reckon. We've gathered people who are creating a third culture. And third culture kids always gravitate toward third culture kids. And together we're trying to create a church out of it. And so far it's a powerful church, but I want this church to get even more powerful, even more strong, even more integrated, even more intimate. I want this to be one of the greatest churches on earth. But we've got to understand what makes third culture kids and how we can develop ourselves into real relationships and a real sense of belonging with each other. They say that third culture kids build relationships with all cultures, yet have no full ownership of any culture. Sometimes that can be a bit of a problem with us, in that this can be in the church. You can see that Hope City Church is a transient place, a place that you're coming to for a couple of years because you don't know the future. But at some stage, you're going to have to make acquaintances, family. At some stage, you're going to have to make the people who are part of your church. You're going to have to make it home at some stage. You're going to have to love the culture you're in and create a third culture called Hope City Church to make it a part of the 21st century movements, people movements, to meet the needs of 21st century people who are basically nomads, global wanderers, people rootless. Even in our cities today, even in Sheffield today, rootlessness abounds in Sheffield. People thinking, well, I just don't know where I belong. And unless we get a strong sense of belonging, we're going to miss it for every other person. If we feel rootless, we have no answer for the rootlessness of the people around about us. Now, for those who fit the traditional international definition of 3CAs, right? So two or more of the following apply to you. Number one, your friends look like the United Nations. Number two, you're really good at calculating time differences because you've had to do it every time you call your parents. Number three, you consider a city 200 miles away to be very close. Number four, your accent changes depending on who you're talking to. Number five, you're a food snob. Number six, you own less junk than everybody else because you've had to pack. You know how to pack. I know how to pack. Number seven, you've got a unique urge to move house every couple of years. And number eight, your passport looks like it's been to hell and back. But that's traditional. But it can also be non-traditional. Your parents could have grown up in the country, and now you find yourself in the city. And you are beginning the journey of being a 3CK. You're beginning the journey of being a third culture kid. Because everything in a city is completely different, relationally, environmentally, to everything happening in the country. And you can feel out of place thinking, where do I belong? Do I belong back with mom and dad or do I belong here? And I want to encourage you, you don't belong back with mom and dad. And even the culture, because it's so new, you don't actually belong in this new culture. You belong in a third culture that you create. That Hope City Church is a church that's evolving, a church where we're creating something so special. We're putting our roots into this third culture that's so deep that it becomes an answer to the transience and the rootlessness of the world that we see around about us. It can apply, and this might be going too far with that, that you might think, well, I'm an introvert. I just like to snuggle up with a book and I just like to do some reading, right? But if I asked you, when was the last book you've read? You'd say, well, it's about 4.5 years ago. And yet you'd call yourself an introvert and a loner and a bookworm. But you haven't read a book in ages because you're now in an extrovert culture. You've been forced into it by work, forced into it by socialization, forced into it by an effervescent church. You're forced into being an extrovert. So some of us think, well, who am I? Am I introvert or am I extrovert? But you've got to create a third culture. It's not who you used to be that you are. It might not be, you might not be totally relaxed in the extrovert culture that you're in, but you're here to create a third culture. Otherwise, you'll go back to first culture. And I've seen it time and time again in church life that when people reach middle age, think, blow it, I'll go back to the Anglican church I was in as an 8-year-old. And it's not good and it's not right. You see it amongst people whose marriages bust up in middle age. They go back to the 18-year-old who's now 58 years of age, changed ever so slightly, because they never moved from first culture. You've got to cut your roots from first culture. So many in this place, you're not African, you're British. And you got to cut off first culture to create a third culture. A third culture with something of tradition, something of the origins, help shape the personality of who you are. But you're a culture creator, not just the culture adopter. And Hope City Church, we're culture creators. This church, when it comes to most churches in the world, has only just started. And you're here to provide the culture of this church that creates roots in a rootless culture, where it's belonging not in a place, but belonging in a people. And I'll say it's the same with Frankfurt. So many people traveling to Frankfurt as a city of transients. It's the same with London. It's the same with Liverpool, same with Leeds. It's the same with Accra. People who find themselves out of their comfort zone, thinking, I'd love to go back to when life was comfortable. Yet everything's moved on from that life of comfort. You will never go back. It would be sinister and wrong to go back into the small world in which you've come from. But you've got to create culture, not think, do I fit in this culture? You've got to create a third culture in your life. You've got to design and create a third culture in your life. Abraham was a third culture kid. Brought up in the Ur of Chaldeans. They couldn't think of a name. And you know, he was there into moon, worshiping the stars. And then God spoke to his dad, we're going to leave this and we're going to become third culture kids. So dad and Abraham and etc. all left, and they arrived in a place called Haran, halfway between Ur and the land of Canaan. And that's where his dad died, and God spoke to him, I want you to leave this place and your father's household, and I want you to go to the land of Canaan. So he was the child of a third culture kid. He became himself a third culture kid. And in Hebrews chapter 11, it gives a revelation of how it happened, how he felt, and why he did it. In 11 verse 8 to 10, it says this about Abraham. By faith, everyone say by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't really know where he was going. By faith, everyone say by faith, he made his home in the promised land. Well, but he still felt like a stranger in a foreign land. He didn't live in a condominium. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. But something in him, he knew that he was looking forward to a city, another city, not Jerusalem. He was looking forward to a city whose foundation, whose architect and builder was God. He was looking forward to heaven. He was looking forward to the new Jerusalem in heaven, because he knew that his origins weren't from earth. I'll speak straight into your spirit right now. Your origins are not earthly origins. You came from God, and you're going back to God. And so Abraham felt like he never really belonged in Canaan, and yet he didn't go back to the Ur of Chaldeans. He made his home in Canaan. It became the land of promise. Hope City Church, for so many of you, is the land of promise. It's deeper than you think. It's not an hour and a half on a Sunday. It's part of the land of promise. But he knew, and we know, that deep down we belong to a heavenly city whose architect and builder is our God. We're not from the earth, we're from heaven. I'll return to that in a few minutes. So many of us were brought up in a secular culture or a strict religious culture. You were born into it, yet you've been born again into a brand new culture of grace and truth. So I would say that just about everyone in this room, if you haven't fit the previous definitions, just about every one of you is a third culture kid. Because you're thinking, hey, hang on a sec, I'm in the world. I ain't of the world. And so wherever you go in this world, wherever you go on campus, wherever you, whatever corridors, whatever streets you walk down, you feel like you don't belong. Because you are in the world, but you've been born again into another world, into the world of the kingdom of God. And so there's a sense of not quite belonging. And because the kingdom of God is often invisible, we can carry with us a little sense of insecurity. You live in the uneasy envelope between where the kingdom of God folds into the kingdom of this world. Like Abraham, you live where you don't belong. But like Abraham, you're creating a third culture. How am I going so far? And it's like a little lesson in something, I don't know. Are we doing well over this side? Great, thank you very much. What I'm describing isn't an easy thing. It's something that most people fail at. The feeling of not quite knowing where you belong often leads to relationships that stay in the shallow end. There's a sense of underlying restlessness in 3CKs. You understand the ebb and flow of life, but you're not committed to the ebb and flow of relationships. If I had a seat, I'd sit on it right now. You're good at socializing. Woo! You're flexible, adaptable, inquisitive, yet at the same time, you're not easy to get to know. You're part fun, part mystery. Don't dig the person next to you because it's probably you. You're part awesome, part blagger. Because you've got away with blagging all your life because that's a characteristic of a third culture kid. You build relationships and let them shear off without a fight because soon you'll be off. You're public yet private, personable yet impersonal. Now, without addressing it, right, you're going to go either one of two ways. For some, ambition is going to take over. C3Ks are four times more likely to get a bachelor's degree than non-3CKs. Now, you think it's because you're bright. I'd say it's because of deep relational dysfunction that you've moved into academic high function. You join the nerds. You think nerds are bright? No, no, no. No, nerds find it hard to socialize. So they redirect what should be a healthy sense of belonging to other people toward academia. Then they become terrible lecturers, because they know everything, but they're hopeless communicators because they don't understand how humans tick. Some of you are driven by academia, by a sense of not quite belonging. You're trying to be someone to supplement not belonging to someone. Speaking the truth, aren't I? Those people who want to get a 2-1 all the time, and then a master's degree, and then ambitious to get a PhD, I suggest there's probably something wrong with you. I suggest that you could be a 3CK redirecting a sense of a lack of belonging into the coldness of academia so that you can gain esteem from being someone with degrees because you're not esteemed by belonging to people. You need to change that. Did you get a 2-2? 2-3? For some, you're susceptible to grasping after intimacy, to have one special BFF, to have one special boyfriend, girlfriend. You're addicted to one special person. You're looking for a sense of being anchored, even though you know it's only temporary. Some 3CKs have one-night stands. That desperation to belong can get you to lose your virginity and lose your sanity. And you live in an unsatisfying, toxic relationship. A surrogacy relationship. It's not the real deal. You know that you'll never marry them. But it's a substitute. It's a counterfeit for what your heart is really longing for. 3CKs can either be far too distant or far too close. Now, here's the good news, right? God gets it. He gets you. He gets that feeling of where do I belong? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus was a 3CK. That he came from heaven and yet was born in a manger on earth. He came from the golden streets of heaven to walk the dusty streets of this earth. He's a 3CK. His earthly dad was a carpenter, and yet he was called not to carpentry, he was called to be a preacher. Like Abraham, Jesus didn't belong on earth, yet still needed a sense of belonging. Now, this is a hinge in my message, so you're going to have to listen in right now. The Father knew that he didn't really know where he belonged. Because Jesus wasn't just God. Jesus was a man God. Part humanity, part sovereignty. Part temporal, part eternal. He was not just the Son of God. He was also the Son of Man so that he'd know how we would feel in the global movements of the 21st century, where people are moving in droves from country to city. They're moving in droves from nation to nation. And even now in Britain, all the Commonwealth nations plus the Polish people are coming in to this nation as a reverse of what happened 100 and 200 years ago. Jesus already prepared himself in his creation of third culture, in the midst of he was no longer in heaven, but he never belonged to earth. When he was being baptized, this is what God said to him. This is what he needed. Matthew 3, verse 18. A voice came from heaven and said three things. This is my son, whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased. Bit of Yorkshire coming in there. With whom I'm well pleased. Now, here's the key, right? You need to turn your relationship with your Heavenly Father from an instructional relationship to an emotional relationship, because your emotions are dangling in the breeze. You belong to your Father's heart. You can't just go to God saying, yeah, I'll be better next time. You better go to God and realize, God, how much do you love me? How much do I belong to your heart? You need to change it from a directional relationship to an emotional relationship to satisfy your deep sense of belonging. Every one of us needs to belong, but we belong in the Father's heart, not even just in a city that God created, but in the culture, in the love, in the sense of value that city gives to every one of its citizens. His Father spoke into his soul. He said, you're not a servant, you're a son. You were born to please me before you were born to serve me. Listen, this is not about purpose, this is about pleasure before it's about purpose. When Jesus underperformed, because he'd done literally nothing, the Father said, I'm well pleased. You need to strip your relationship back from performance-driven relationship and saying, "I forgive me, Lord," 500 times every time you have a quiet time. And you need to strip it back to a father-son relationship that starts with our Father, not I'm sorry. And you need to strip it back from performance back to pleasure. You were created for his good pleasure. And even if you failed, there's no better fodder for the love of God than your failure, for God to speak into your failure and say, I am well pleased with you as a person, with you and your intent. I'm well pleased. Let's come back to father-son relationship that's not performance-driven. 3CKs are all about performance. Got to get myself another degree. Got to get myself up the career ladder. Got to be someone. Listen, no. You've got to belong to somebody. Otherwise, you drive to be someone. You're going to have written 20 books by the time you die, but you'll never actually have a lot of people at your funeral because you never belong to any person's heart. And you're going to have to fulfill that by realizing there's a God that you actually belong to. And he wants to tell you that you're not a servant, you're a son. He wants to tell you that you're loved, that you doted on, that you never deserved this love. You ought to just swim in this love. And he wants to tell you that he's well pleased when you underperform, not when you overperform. This is a relationship built on grace. It's not built on your greatness or your excellence. It's built on grace. Okay, so now my message goes entirely practical. His father's affirmation affected Jesus so much that it freed him to get personal. John 13, 3 to 5. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, symbolism, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin, began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that he already had wrapped around him. Jesus did five things with his new sense of belonging. Number one, he got up from the meal. You can't bury yourself in your education, in your career, in your personal dreams and ambitions without dealing with the root cause of it, a lack of a sense of belonging. You're going to have to get up from your meal. You're too fixated on your program, your dreams, your ambitions. You're going to have to stop. It's going to drive you crazy. It'll eventually drive you into a divorce. You're going to have to be less driven. You're going to have to be less about your meal and more about why you are eating the meal. It's in order to build community. So Jesus got up and went back to why he was doing what he was doing. He was a part of a group of people sharing a sense of belonging. And out of belonging and believing comes dreaming and achieving. But if dreaming and achieving comes first, you are in deep, deep trouble. You've got to turn away from your meal and from your ambitions. If you belong to a city whose architect and builder is God, a heavenly city, the church is God's staging post to that city. This is base camp. Jesus described the church and himself as he's the head and we're the body. You're going to have to start getting your sense of belonging from church. from his church. This is base camp on the way to the heavenly city. This is eternity, this side of eternity. This is an unusual group of people. It's not built on personality. It's not built on location. It's built on a heart gathering of people who are united together because we're third culture kids. We live in a secular culture, and yet we bring a spiritual culture. And that spiritual culture is manifest by everything to do with church life. It's not locational. It's not just geographic. This is God's people uniting together. And belonging doesn't come from geography. It doesn't come from you going back home. It comes from the people who you're with. And I suggest you start falling madly, truly, and deeply in love with your church. You start bigging this place up. Stop attending church. Stop acknowledging church. And start to be excited about your church. Say, this is my church. Stop saying, yeah, I go to Hope City Church. Say, my church is awesome. My church is incredible. Push the cynics aside. Push the lazy people aside. Push those people who want to segregate the church from the head, which is Jesus. Push them aside and say, my God and my church can hardly be divided. The same blood that pumps through his church pumps through his head and his heart. You're going to have to fall madly and deeply, truly. You're going to have to love the church, celebrate the church, grab it, invest in it, live it, breathe it. Make a t-shirt. Get a tattoo. In actual fact, somebody did get a tattoo, but the tattoo artist I saw on Instagram got it wrong. Put Hope Church City. But well done if you're here today on your intent. You were crazy about it that someone got it mixed up. But well done, because that's exactly what everyone else needs to do. Get up from their meal and start to realize the source and the answer to your belonging lies here. It's not geography. It's not locational. It's heart. It's belonging. Number two, Jesus in verse 4 took off his outer garment. It's time for you to get real. Stop blagging it. Let somebody know your secrets. Drop your guard. Show the real you. Laugh with us. Cry with us. Laze around with us. Some of you too pragmatic, straight when the meeting's over, you dash off. I'm thinking, where's the cool down period? You know, where's the lazing together? Some of you are too self-sufficient, too self-protective. Should have a third word there, but I decided to pull back and just have two. You're to lean in with us. Number three, wrap a towel around your waist. Get ready to serve. If you want to be involved, if you want a sense of belonging, you want to start working alongside those who actually belong. In Mark 10:45, Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. You're to come out from the world being your oyster, put down your quest to experience the seven wonders of the world, put down your dreams. One day I want to visit Hawaii. I want to visit Hollywood. I want to visit LA. Because all you're doing is saying the world revolves around you by saying that. You ought to change it that you revolve around the world. Otherwise, it's all about your experience. What did you experience today in church? Listen, it's not about your experience. It's about you giving other people an experience. Because we're not here to serve you. Well, I am. Forget that analogy. I'm moving on. Grab a nearby towel. Stop looking cool. And get ready to cool others. Clever. With a servant heart and a servant love. Okay, number four, pour water into a basin and begin to wash. Get into the wrinkles of people's lives. Touch the bruised and bleeding feet of the less privileged than you. Wash the feet of fellow travelers with words of grace and understanding. Wash them with the water of God's word, carefully poured out into a basin of love. and use the water of your talents and the water of your gifts to wash and freshen your fellow travelers. My last point is dry them with a towel, verse 5. Listen, 3CKs, don't just start a job. Finish the flipping job. Get a towel that you prepared earlier and dry off the job that you started. There's people that you have aborted the mission halfway through. I'm surprised by some friendships. They seem to be going really well. Then they suddenly shear off and disappear. You never completed a season. You broke off mid-season. Hello, 3CKs. And you ought to stop doing it because it's naughty, naughty, naughty. Don't shear away the moment you get personalized. Don't run when you feel too exposed. Don't get seduced by someone offering quick intimacy that takes you away from heavenly belonging. Say no to toxic relationships. It's Heart and Soul Month. Join a team. Join the vision. Get baptized in water. See, this is you getting a basin, filling it up, washing. Being a part of the family of this place. Stop being the Scarlet Pimpernel. Stop being Houdini. Stop disappearing on us. Start to expose your vulnerabilities. Some of you have been around 10 years, you've never been baptized. That's weird. But it's hidden rather than weird. You ought to expose some of the hiddenness within your life. Get baptized in the Spirit. Speak in tongues. Become a partner. Start to tithe. Start going to Connect. Come to TNR. Go to Neon. Go to We Are Woman. Stop dreaming and achieving. Start belonging and believing. Return to the first scripture, Hebrews 11:9. By faith, Abraham made his home in the promised land. How am I going to do this? Oh, you're going to do it by faith. You're going to make your home in the promised land. I'm just going to finish by saying welcome home probably about 12 times, and then Colin's going to come in up. Right? Welcome home. Start over this side. Right over here. Welcome home. Welcome home. We might never go skiing together, but we were united by the cords of love. We're united by the cords of eternity. That's what unites us. It's not because we're in Sheffield. It's because God's divinely placed us together in family. It's not because we function. It's because of God's Spirit that works amongst us. At the back. Second row. Third row. Back row. Hey, welcome home. You've been looking for home. You thought it was in a person. It's not a person. It's not a best friend forever. It's his church. You might think it's in another church. No, no, just church. Forget the branding. Take off the outer garment. This is just God's church. Some people go from church to church as if they're having takeout meals, trying to find the best takeaway meal. Well, let me say this, not takeaway this. It's a restaurant. Almost. Welcome home. Turn to the person next to you and say, welcome home. No, 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 not the person you're married to, just the other person. The other person. Just welcome home. This is welcome home. Two more sections, then Colin's coming up. Hello. Welcome home. Last but not least. Welcome home. Wave to the people over this side. Just give them a wave. Because the guys, give them a wave over that side. Yeah. These guys, give these guys over here, just over here, Mr. Middle, just give those guys a wave, you know, just
So good.
Just finish for 30 seconds on how to hug. Now, I don't want this church to be a hug-obsessed church, right? Because I always think you got to hug everything that moves, right? But, you know, the problem with us is unless you develop a sense of belonging, you'll always hug people from a distance. You'll do a Pentecostal hug. No bodily contact in case it gets sexual. No, it's because you're too cold. It's because you're suspicious. You ought to drop your suspicion. Stop being emotional. Stop allowing the suspicious nature within you when you meet somebody who's actually a brother and sister in Christ. You want to hug them like your mama. You ought to hug them like they're your closest friend. You ought to get rid of this. You feel like a stranger, but you ought to hug someone like they're not a stranger. We ought to develop a culture in this church that even if you give someone a high five, look them in the eyes. Don't look on the ground, because they're a brother and a sister. They're the brother you never had, the sister you never had, the mother you never had, the auntie that you never had. This is family. You've got to create a third culture. And may Hope City Church go from strength to strength, from glory to glory, as we develop the third culture of the grace and the truth and the goodness of the kingdom of heaven on earth. God bless you.